In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have shared with some of you before, I think in the context of having done some catechism classes. I don't think I've ever shared it in front of the whole congregation before, but it's a little bit of a confession, which is to say, I never really had an appreciation for history until I took church history. And which is not to slight the study of history or to slight any of my teachers, but for some reason, when I had the opportunity to study church history at seminary, it threw the history switch in my brain, and I now enjoy history. And I think a big part of that is because church history is exciting. The stories are stories that you couldn't make up if you wanted to. And I'm not just talking about stories from the Bible, I'm talking about how the church was formed, the people who fought for the church, how all of our basic beliefs as Christians, these are things that people argued and struggled about for not just for decades, but for centuries as the faith came together. And so I am an advocate of studying Christian history. Not only that, but Christian history is not simply about what's happened in the past, but it's ongoing, right? Because Christian history is the story of how the Holy Spirit is working in mankind through the generations so that we can have revealed to us our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, in the coming of the Holy Spirit, in the gathering today for the reception of the Eucharist, etc., etc. So Christian history is this living, breathing thing, and I think that makes it even more exciting. We don't often think about it, but even just the gospel reading we wrote today is history. It is an account of the words of Jesus. It is a substantial gospel reading filled with lots and lots of beautiful teachings, but this whole business about the eye is the lamp of the body, you cannot serve God and mammon, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear on your body, etc. That's history. Jesus said those things. Nobody wrote them down while he was saying them, obviously, and in fact, they didn't bother writing them down until a couple of generations later when they realized that the second coming wasn't going to happen tomorrow. But nevertheless, these are words that were conveyed orally from the people who heard them to the people who wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. So the gospel is part of our history. If you want to have an apologetic, a defense of Christianity, appeal to history. When one looks at the events and the prophecies of the Old Testament that first began to be told as early as 1500 BC and up till 800 BC, if you look at how they are then fulfilled later in the ministry of Jesus Christ, you understand that this is not some sort of a myth or a conspiracy. In fact, in order to not be a Christian, you almost have to be deliberately in denial of history and written documents. You have to be deliberately ignorant. And that is simply a fact. And I would be delighted to say that in any forum, because it's the absolute truth. If you study history, then you belong here in church today worshiping Jesus Christ. And we understand also that if we, as practicing Christians, if we begin to appreciate our own Christian history, we also understand why today, while not everybody might not be an Orthodox Christian with a capital O, that we see people in a variety of Christian traditions practicing Orthodoxy with a small O, because the more one opens up the history books, the more one reads scripture, the more one understands how it is we got to be Christians in 2016, the more we do that, the more we understand that there is an apostolic faith, that there is a tradition with a capital T that's been handed down to us, that all of this that we have today didn't just come about by fiat or by accident. We are here today as participants in history, you and I. Remember, history, church history, is living and breathing. You and I are part of history. We are part of God's plan for the salvation of the universe. And just in case anybody missed that, I'll say it again. You and I are part of God's plan for the salvation of the universe. And so we are contributing to this unfolding history of salvation. It should be an exciting thing. So there's nobody here today who is a static observer. We are participants. Participants in God's plan for our salvation. Here at Holy Trinity, we know a lot about parish history because Holy Trinity is the oldest Greek Orthodox church west of the Mississippi. And obviously then, one could reasonably conclude, one of the oldest churches in the country, which we are among the oldest. That is true. And we have a glorious history. We sometimes skip right through to the Father Anthony era, which I'll come to in a second, but there were many, many priests who served before that. We even have the granddaughter of one of our priests who is a regular worshiper and communicant here. We have a glorious history. And yes, we do thank God for the half of a century of leadership of Father Anthony and everything that we have here today because of his unique efforts in leadership. But remember, history does not stop. History does not stop. And we continue to work to build on the contributions and the sacrifices of the generations that came before us. One of the things that we have been struggling to do in the past 8 years is to ask ourselves, how can we best serve other people, serve people in need? And it's something we've talked about on an official level, an unofficial level, something we've prayed about, something we've experimented with. And we've done this because this is what Jesus tells us to do. We are supposed to help the least of our brethren. But we also do it because we know that churches that are involved in outreach tend to grow numerically and grow spiritually. And a friend of mine and somebody that I dare not call a colleague because he's much more qualified than I, but I enjoy reading his books, a friend of mine likes to talk about something called a signature outreach ministry for a church. Signature outreach ministry. And what he means is that every church should have at least one ministry that they're involved in where people say, oh yeah, you're the church with the fill in the blank, right? Well, you're the church where the AA meetings are. You're the church that has the soup kitchen, etc. That's your signature outreach ministry, how people would know you. And that's a good thing. It's good to be known that way. It's kind of like when somebody say, oh, I know so-and-so. He's the person who's very nice and forgiving. We want to be known that way. We want that kind of a reputation in life. And so what are some of the things we've done is we have struggled again and experimented with how to serve others. Here is a short list. There are other things, and this is not by any means to imply that things weren't being done for other people before 8 years ago. Good witness of that is our Agape Stitchers, who do so many things, and much of what they do is unsung with regard to their contributions, but they do so many things to help people. But here are some things we've experimented with in the past 8 years and by the grace of God, done well with. We have established Help Portrait, which is an annual event, part of an international movement, where people who otherwise could not afford to have a nice individual or family Christmas portrait made have it done here by professional photographers with professional makeup and hair, etc., and they go home with a framed, high-definition portrait that they can put up in their house. We have and continue to send teams to Project Mexico, and those of us who have not gone on the Project Mexico building trips have contributed substantially to those teams. We have pledged to support the still emerging church in the Philippines, 25 years of Orthodoxy now in the Philippines, and we do that through our Philippines connection. And we have established the practice now of going out periodically to give survival items and some food to people living on the streets in our street outreach. Now, something really exciting happened, and it's a good indication of why it is that one needs to keep experimenting and trying new things. Something really exciting happened with regard to our street outreach, because in doing it, it was discovered not only that we could get food from the food bank for part of our street outreach, but in fact, the San Francisco Marin Food Bank was looking for another distribution site in our part of the city. And what that means specifically is that there are clients of the food bank who weekly will come to a site to pick up their weekly groceries. It's that simple. And that opportunity was made available to us. And so, beginning next Saturday, that's what we'll be doing. That's what we will be doing literally every Saturday. Every Saturday. And it has to be every Saturday, obviously, because people can't skip their weekly groceries. But every Saturday, a truck will come, will unload pallets of food. Volunteers will set them up. People will come on campus, and they'll get their weekly groceries. And it is just such a magnificent thing. First of all, it meets a real need, which is providing people with food. It will bring the people whom we are serving on campus, which is great. It brings new people onto our campus. And when there's not a wedding or a baptism going on simultaneously, the church can be open for people to come in. It will also bring volunteers on campus. We will need 10 volunteers per week. And not all of the work is arduous. There are some lifting, but it is the kind of thing where literally people of any age can volunteer. But regardless, to think about getting essentially 520 person units of volunteer per year, well, that's hard to get from one church, but that's okay because we want people from outside of our constituency to come volunteer. And so if you're part of a high school where there's volunteer hours or a service organization, or if your place of business encourages volunteerism, well, that's something that we can connect people with now. Because there is, and if you look on the Familion, please look in the bulletin, look on the website, but there is actually a link where one can go on and sign up to work on a specific Saturday. And you can do it all online, and that way we know we have enough volunteers, and that way you can sign up without problems. And it really is beautiful because this type of ministry leverages, if you will, our assets. We're not located such that we could have a soup kitchen here. It would be kind of farcical, right? I mean, the homeless people would have to drive their cars to the soup kitchen. That's unrealistic. It's illogical. So when it comes to helping people, there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. But here is beautiful. We have a campus that it accommodates foot and vehicular traffic very nicely. We have an area near the athletic center where we can set up this distribution without interfering with anything in the church. We have restroom facilities, the whole bit. It's the perfect scenario for us. And God grant this will be something that people will start to know us for. So they say, oh, I know Holy Trinity. I go there once a month to help distribute food for the food bank. What a wonderful thing. It's so easy and so simple. It's almost like God himself thought of this opportunity for us. And I'm convinced, in fact, this is the work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit among us. So the question then becomes this, really. Just how are you and I going to respond to this new chapter in the history of our parish? As we continue to do our other outreach activities, to be sure, but how are we going to respond to this new opportunity of distributing food? Well, first is pray. I mean, we pray all the time, but it's okay to pray for specific things. And as I've told you many times, I've tested the theory, God never answers the BMW prayer, at least he hasn't for me. But God does answer prayers about things like this, so pray for the success of this ministry. Pray for the people who work for the food bank. Pray for the people whom we will serve. Volunteer. Again, as I said, that not all of the work involves picking up heavy objects, so volunteer periodically. This is actually a rather low overhead ministry, but there are some expenditures. We need to purchase a couple of tables, maybe a couple of tents. So if one wants to contribute to the support of this ministry, it would be greatly appreciated. And then finally, our response should be to encourage people to volunteer. You know, all of us have people in our lives where we still feel uncomfortable about asking them to church. I get that. That's why small groups become so effective, because it's an easier invite, if you will. Well, this is an easy invite, too. So if you want people to see what's happening, you invite them to come help with the food distribution. You see, by way of conclusion, let me simply remind us all that you and I are people rooted in history. The history of God's plan for salvation laid out in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. The history of God's plan for salvation as the church emerges from a group of people left behind when Jesus ascends into heaven, into what we have today. We are part of history with regard to this parish. We are part of history with regard to your call and my call to be God's agents in his plan for the salvation of the universe. Simply put, dear brothers and sisters, beginning this Saturday, you and I will have yet another opportunity to make history.